Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb time here on your Friday. We just did a little research, and the last non-quarterback to win the MVP was Adrian Peterson. And what was 2011?
2012,
Adrian Peterson. That was the last one. But so we had some running backs, LaDainian Tomlinson, Sean Alexander.
I was looking at, since 2000, Marshall Faulk won it in 2000, but since 2000, there's only been four running backs. The rest have all been quarterbacks.
That's a quarterback award, man.
Yeah, 2003, award. They gave it to two quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's like the...
Couldn't make a decision.
It's like the Heisman. The Heisman is either QB, running back, or like defensive players aren't going to win that thing anymore. And it's not like they won a ton of them. There's a couple of guys, but...
No, I get to go back to 1986 for a defensive player to have won the MVP.
Lawrence Taylor?
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah. That's always the right answer to anything, right? When in doubt, when you say defensive anything, like just go Lawrence Taylor first.
Well, that's a good, because if you're wrong, that's a good guess.
That's a good guess. Exactly. Like if somebody said, hey, the last defensive guy to do this was from the 1930s, still guess Lawrence Taylor,
just
to cover your bases.
If it's 1930s, I'm going Y.A. Tittle.
Right, exactly. Just still guess
name.
Lawrence
Taylor. Fun to say.
You never know. All right, what is the good of the day?
The good of the day. Hey, you know what? We got a flex.
We did. This was great news.
NFL flexed a Monday night game, not a Sunday night game. They went Monday night game.
This is something I thought they would never do.
I guess it's allowed. It's there. Yep. They just never have exercised it.
They didn't want the negative feedback from people who said I traveled for this game.
Yeah,
and I had a flight Monday. And I was going on Sunday, and you moved it to Monday, and now I'm changing my entire plans.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, so, it was a nice little weekend to Vegas, and now you've moved it to Monday night, and I got to figure out a flight in another hotel.
But honestly, this flex is a no-brainer.
Absolutely.
Because it went from, it's week 15, Monday Night Football, week 15. It was Kansas City Chiefs at New England Patriots.
Should have never been on a Monday night anyway.
Well, I guess maybe they thought Chiefs, maybe the I don't know.
No. Stop making excuses. The Patriots have stunk.
They have.
They may have thought that they should have been better this year, but they have to prove, they should be proving themselves again before we start throwing them on late Monday night games.
I guess, you know, maybe what were they trying to do? It was going to be Patrick Mahomes against Belichick's defense.
No, they were just putting the Patriots on.
Yeah.
They just went, so Patriots might be good. Who knows?
They flexed that out. Instead, they're giving us, and it was appropriately timed, I will say, by the NFL to announce this yesterday, too, because they will be giving us Eagles-Seahawks.
Yeah, good game.
And I think that'll be a good one.
Good game.
If it's anything like last night, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, this is the NFL making an economic decision. Do they go, okay, we'll get the emails, we'll get the letters from Tom and Joanne who flew out to watch a Sunday game that got flexed to Monday and it cost them this amount of money. Oh, do we want to hear it from the executives who are like, yeah, we give you lots and lots and lots of money for your product, and in return, we kind of expect a good product. And that's what they did. But I thought this would never happen. I really did.
I didn't think so either.
You're right. They could do it. They could do it. But they have always backed. Well, you know, it's changing a time is one thing. Changing an actual date is another. But now this opens a floodgate of possibilities of what they can do now. Once you do it once, you might as well do it a million times.
Yep.
And now it's wide open.
And then the other thing they announced, too, were the Saturday matchups for week 15 as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we forget that we do get Saturday games.
We do. We start getting Saturday games once college football
starts. Yeah. So Saturday, what they decided to do was go with all teams that are in a playoff hunt.
Yeah.
I don't know if these are going to be great games, but we get three games on Saturday, December 16th. We have Vikings at Bengals. I don't know if that's going to be any good.
I am. Yeah, right. You. Yeah, I don't know.
But the other two, I think will be. It's going to be Steelers at Colts. And then,
there you go, fighting for a playoff berth.
And then Broncos at Lions.
The Colts are the The Colts are a very, very interesting football team.
Yes, they are.
They are very interesting. They're finding ways to win, and they're 6-5, and they've won 3 straight with Gardner Minshew at quarterback, and they are very much alive in this picture. Very much.
So, I mean, good on you, NFL, for making these decisions. I was really happy that you pulled Kansas City out of bed.
Can you imagine Buck and Aikman sitting around a table now, sitting there going, obvious, Troy will never have to call a bad late-season game again. Yep. Once they've done it once, they'll do it. They will take care of us every December on. We might get some duds early, but once we get to the critical point in the calendar, they are going to take care of us.
I mean, let's see. This Monday's game could be a dud.
Yeah.
Could be.
Jacksonville, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be a dud now that, you know, there's no Joe Burrow. But before Joe Burrow's injury, oh, my God, that's fantastic.
I will tell you this. If I was the NFL, and I mean this, you do have to be careful. And I mean it in this way. Be a little careful what games you're flexing. Because, one, you are going to upset the team, the companies that have those games. We talk about this a lot. The Sunday night flexing, the Fox and CBS do get to protect one, right? They do go, look, you can't take all the games away from us. Like, look, we will do the crappy Patriots versus the Arizona Cardinals game. We will send some crew there all week to give you that game on television. But in return, when we get one of the good matchups, don't steal it from us every chance you get. But the other thing, too, is don't just assume because a team lost their quarterback and they're 6-6, they're still in the playoff hunt. Like, they're still fighting for a playoff spot, and that matters to their fan base. Yep. You may not feel like it's like you want to put a better matchup on, but, like, the Patriots are dead. They're dead, but Cincinnati's not dead, right?
No.
Cincinnati's still alive.
They're
not as attractive without Joe Burrow, of course, but they're not dead. So if I was the NFL, I'd be a little cautious about what would be my criteria for kicking a team off of primetime late in the season. Yeah. Just assuming they would stink because
a quarterback is out? I'm going to point this out because I don't think this game hasn't been flexed. And maybe, you know, I don't think they're going to do anything about it. But we were just talking about how, you know, it was Chiefs against Patriots Monday night.
Right.
Right? That Monday night game. Now that's been flexed out, thank God. But Patriots had a Monday night, and then they were playing the following Sunday night.
See, what is the attraction of the Patriots?
That's what I was bringing up. I mean, and that Sunday night game is Christmas Eve. So everyone's going to be home. You're going to have it on. That's Patriots at Broncos.
The Patriots still have. They've still got.
They still got
pull.
A poll.
They
guess.
Still got a poll.
I you know
there's a whole generation of fans that like.
That's
them
what I was just going to bring that up
yeah,
because
that's what it is.
There's a you know they are what the Steelers and Cowboys were
sure.
in the 70s.
There's kids in like Oklahoma that like the Patriots have never even been to Boston. They're
yep.
like yeah they were great. I love them. They were awesome.
They're
I
my
love
team.
Them. I loved Gronk. I loved Brady. I liked Bill Belichick. They were my team.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, they did. They did that transition.
Oh, my brother and I talk about this every now and then when we talk about when our teams were crappy and we still got national games. It was like, yeah, we'll ride that train as much as you possibly can. I mean, there was years where the Steelers were abysmal. But not losing record abysmal.
Yeah, I was going to say, how can you say abysmal?
Oh, they were 6-10 a few years under Bill Cowher. They were, in the 90s, they were pretty bad. Late 90s, they were pretty bad. They had a period of time where they were playing in AFC championship games. They lost to the Chargers. They lost to Denver. They lost to, who else did they lose to? But Patriots. They lost to the Patriots under Drew Bledsoe. Then the late 90s, after Super Bowl 30, they were pretty terrible before they kicked it. They turned it around with the Roethlisberger acquisition, but they were still on national TV like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah,
you know, and the Patriots are probably benefiting from that.
And the Patriots, and there will probably be national games next year.
Right, so that's probably
just imagine.
The case. All right. Well, that was a very fun conversation about flexing the Monday night game because that is a big deal.
It is
a
big deal.
That is a huge, huge story. It is for NFL fans. This is a huge story. You know, like look. We talk about this a lot with commissioners, and I have to remind people sometimes. If you're a commissioner of a league, you don't look day-to-day. You look 4 or 5 years down the road. You're always thinking, how am I keeping this relevant down the road?
And that, and you don't really have all the power.
Right.
That's the thing.
That's
the thing. You work. You're the face of 32 other guys.
You're the face of you're the face of all the owners that don't want to explain why they did X, Y,
and Z. I mean, and that's a tough phone call for Roger to make to Robert Kraft, right?
Yeah.
Say, listen, I'm taking you off of Monday night.
Right. And then Robert Kraft goes, why would you do that?
Yeah.
You're 2-9. Hint, hint. You're 2-9. Hint, hint.
And you're going to go up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, who at that moment in week 15 still have a lot to play for.
Yeah. So here's the deal.
But we'd bring Taylor.
I'm not telling you why you're 2-9, but you know why you're 2-9. Wink, wink. Figure it out, Robert.
B squared.
That's right.
B squared.
Figure it out. And then you get back on the national TV games. Wink, wink. All right. The bad and the dumb coming up next as we continue the Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Okay, good, the bad, and the dumb. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. All right, we did the good, which was NFL flexing Monday night games now. What is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is actually twofold, Tony. All right, I'm not giving you two bads, but this one story kind of has two bads to it. All right? So, a Japanese college football powerhouse program.
Okay.
Right? Is abolishing their entire program due to a major marijuana scandal.
So a Japanese football program.
College football.
College football in Japan. Tokyo?
Yeah. It's outside of Tokyo. It's called Nihon University.
Okay. And they've got a marijuana scandal.
Right. Now, there's the marijuana scandal. Marijuana is not allowed in Japan. At all. And so
their country and culture takes that more seriously than
ours.
Do here.
Right.
Okay. Got
it. If we had a marijuana scandal here, you know, it's isolated to like one person.
Right.
And then that's it. In Japan, it was one person who was discovered to have partake in marijuana usage. And because of that, it led to a huge investigation, which caused the university president and vice president to step down and abolish the entire program.
What? So one guy...
Well, one guy turned into two, which then turned into three. But that was after investigating for 4 months. They uncovered three people had
they
used
did
marijuana.
A four-month investigation on this?
Yeah, it could have been 3 months,
four
give or take.
4 months they spent on this? That's crazy.
Yeah,
people resigned from their jobs.
Well, the vice president, I guess, was fired.
I'm getting confused because every time I say something that you said.
Yeah, no, I'm reading again. Okay. I got my stuff mixed up. But regardless what it is two people are losing their jobs and an entire college football program has shut down.
So,
now, I did tell you it was a powerhouse program because between 1955 and 2017 – Nihon University has won 21 national titles, second only to another university. So what I'm trying to describe is like this would be like Ohio State, I guess, shutting their program down.
And we're not talking soccer, right? We're talking football.
This comes the other bad. I didn't know Japan had a college football program.
I didn't either.
But they have had a college football program, and
when you just said 1955, they've been playing football there since 1955.
Thank you. No, longer. Because, I mean, I'm only talking about Nihon University has won title since 1955.
I didn't even know this was a thing over there.
Yes.
Have they brought any players to the National Football League?
I don't know if they brought, but we've had American players go there because this is where the problem comes in. Because the first one, I believe, was an American-born player.
The marijuana player.
The marijuana player, yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of layers of onions to this bad.
Yeah.
So I'm trying, like, all right, now I'm going to.
But the main thing for me was that I did not know this entire time that there's been a college football anything. And I'm talking American football. I'm not talking soccer. That there is a college football system in Japan.
I didn't either. And I would think as much as I read and consume like everything sports, like real sports and don't know, whatever. Like Bryant Gumbel never went over there and went, hey, coming up on Real Sports, they play football in Japan. And they just do a little bit where, like, I don't know, one of the Real Sports reporters is over there talking to players.
Never.
Who they like and what's it like to play there and how the fans react to it. And they've never, no, I've never seen that on any, like, sports magazine type show. You know what I mean? Where they do that kind of thing. No one's ever thought this was a good enough story to write a feature article on it in, like, Sporting News or something. I didn't even know this existed. Seriously, like, if I was in a casino and I was playing yes or no, and the guy said, I'm going to give you question, I'm going to just say things, and you tell me if it's true or false, and you say, there's a deep, historic American college football system in Japan, I would put my money on no. And I would have lost. That's wild. So the American was the one that shut this whole thing down, huh?
Pretty much.
Smoked some pot and the whole thing. It just, like, a house of cards.
And they had paraphernalia on them.
Oh, and paraphernalia. Yeah. Okay.
So
that's just as bad, I guess, in Japan.
I just went to Wikipedia. It's called Kanto Collegiate American Football Association.
Wow.
So it's an American college football league made up of colleges and universities in the Kanto region of Japan.
No kidding.
But there are, yeah, there's a bunch of schools.
Those players should take a field trip to Colorado. They should hang out in Boulder and be like, what?
Which, oh, speaking on that yesterday, and I was a little upset, but I figured out who the Sportsman of the Year should have been as well.
Okay, go ahead.
You had met, I mean, we all know it was Deion Sanders was the one who got the award. Right. You had mentioned Nikola Jokic.
Yes. I thought Nikola Jokic should have won the sports. Yeah.
I'm going to offer up this one, especially in America. Lionel Messi,
yeah.
I think he's more deserving than Deion Sanders.
Well,
I mean, he didn't win a champ. I mean, he won a World Cup this time last year, and I know that doesn't count. That doesn't carry over. But what he did to, like, almost soccer in America for that shortcoming time that where they were just winning everything, and he was
okay. What ended up happening with that?
Well, I mean, Miami.
What was the end result of that?
Miami season ended, so
when?
We stopped. He came to the team where they would need a miracle plus to make the playoffs.
So that was cool that he was playing.
I guess it was a summer thing.
And he was doing something.
But he did lead a team to a title when he first got here. It was I can't remember that MLS Cup thing, whatever they were doing.
I could see it.
I wish I followed the MLS more, but I don't.
But yeah, I think that's the problem. I think that's the problem. But I would have said if he had won the championship, then I would have said, yeah. But if, like, you and I talked about when he came, it's like, I know he's older, but is he picking apart less than soccer players?
Oh, I'm certain he is.
Right? So I can't honor that.
But could you say,
like, I could honor Nikola Jokic
I get that.
Blasting through the NBA playoffs and winning a title.
Could you say he's more deserving than Deion? That was my point.
Oh, without question. I could list five or six that are more deserving than Deion.
That was my point, that he is more deserving than Deion.
My argument on the Deion Sanders thing yesterday, if you missed it, my argument was if you're giving out a Sports Person of the Year award, and again, the criteria is wide open. I get it. If you look at the history of this thing, they have given it to charitable athletes who didn't do anything spectacular or win a title or anything. A couple of years ago, they gave it to a group of athletes who were really good at what they do, but supported causes. They were fighting for change in different things, right? A lot of areas like that. So it's wide open in terms of the criteria. But what they were basically selling in giving Deion the award wasn't 4-8 or 1-8 in the Pac-12. It was he brought a lot of money and attention to Colorado. And I'm like, if that's what we're doing, we've lessened this award by a ton.
Yeah, because I won't coincide to the narrative that, you know, he brought a lot of attention to college football. He brought new fans to college football. I was like, okay, some eyes tuned in a little bit more, but no.
No.
I can't buy that one either.
It wasn't. So to me, again, if his presence at Colorado meant something grander, like, like a huge children's hospital was built, right, or something like that, then you could go, okay, his presence led to this great societal benefit.
Yeah.
They were just talking about the money he made the school and the money he made businesses in Boulder. And like that if that's what we're doing, then you would write, you could put in a Lionel Messi and say, he maybe didn't win the title, but my God, he was selling out MLS arenas everywhere to go for high ticket. Is that what we're doing? Like, why not John Daly at golf tournaments, right? Tickets seem to go up when he's in it. Like, if that's the criteria, you've lessened what this really means. Deion Sanders got four wins and they were exciting for a while and they were kind of a fun team. But in the end, that wasn't a good football team the latter part of the season. That wasn't a team that people stuck around with and hung around with because of him. So to me, that was the argument. If you're going to go secondary, you miss the boat on this. I don't think people looked at that and went, oh, I get it. Yeah, all the businesses around Boulder made a lot of money. Well, really? Like, so what? A big deal. I mean, you didn't give it to the Cubs when they won the World Series. I'm sure they affected the economy of the South Side, right? Or the North Side, whatever they play. I think the North Side. I'm sure they affected the economy when they played in the World Series. But I thought it was, to me, and I know we're going to get the dumb, and we're probably going to have to get the dumb in a little bit. But to me, and I've been saying this all season, I think there are media entities that do not want to get on the wrong side of Deion Sanders. So they are staying on the plus side of Deion Sanders. Because if this guy does turn things around, this guy has said, I'm taking receipts. And if you're Sports Illustrated or you're somebody else and you're very openly critical, the access you may not get the access you're looking for to a program that may be needing access to. That's what I'm thinking. All right, we'll get the dumb coming up next on a Football Friday. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, well, continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. We've had two good ones. This American football in Japan thing is mind-boggling.
It really is.
It's a whole bunch of teams. It's not like four teams play, and they just call, they're cute.
American,
there's like
college
a whole
football
league.
And divisions.
Divisions, and they play all over, and it's popular, and holy mackerel.
And I never knew it existed. I think that's the
problem.
The NFL
has done a poor job of reminding us that it's being played over there. Right? They want to promote like football in London.
Yeah, why are we
going
to Japan?
There's a couple of people to play in London. Why not take a game to Japan, for crying out loud? Look at what's going on over there. They love it.
You could have a. You could, in theory, have a team play on Sunday, come back and play again on Sunday.
You could send like the Niners and the Seahawks out there, or you could send the Chargers and the Rams. I guess.
Have them
play teams. Play them out there.
Yeah, why not have them play a game early Sunday morning in Japan? Fly them back over and have them play again in Seattle or San Francisco. That way they get two games in one day.
That's right.
Doubleheader.
All right, so what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, Tony, and I will say this. The dumb of the day is to anyone that will give that'll have any backlash towards LeBron James, who has decided to choose to go see Bronny's college basketball debut over playing in a Lakers game.
Yeah,
if
I know
those
that
games overlap with one another.
He probably is getting criticism, but he should not.
He should not.
Bronny is lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, Bronny had a heart condition and collapsed, and we were very nervous for him. And he was rushed by ambulance, if you remember that story, to the hospital. And LeBron raced to the hospital, and now he's been medically cleared to play. I would absolutely
be there.
I can't imagine but not being there.
Regardless of that. I know that the old adage is, you're a professional athlete, you're going to miss life events, right?
Well, you don't have to.
I don't think that's the case anymore.
I don't think that's the – look, what was it? Sandy Koufax didn't pitch on Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah.
We've
had certain cases like that.
People who have – like very, very – there's so many who have been – dismissed from the team to say, go be with your wife to have a child.
Yeah, but I think that was the narrative back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even into the 80s, where it was like, oh, no, you just missed the birth of your kid. No big deal.
Yeah.
That's this is what you do. It's your job.
Well, you know, it was a different time. I mean, like, now you can be in the room. You used to not be in the room.
True.
Remember that? Like, the old scenes of, like, father patiently just back and forth in the waiting room,
yep,
waiting to hear the news. It's a boy! And you'd go, oh, my gosh, cigars for everybody, folks. It's a boy. It's a boy.
I wonder why they didn't let him in the room.
Yeah, and then they started letting you in the room. Right? And then once you're in the room, now it's like, okay, it's a game changer. Now they're letting you in the room.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this one, I mean, I can't, like, to me, I can't imagine, like, being so cynical and just looking for click that I would write an article or an opinion piece on how LeBron is letting everybody down by attending his son, who nearly died,
yeah,
his debut at USC.
And you're missing,
like, it's silly.
You're missing a game in December or January,
because
right, there is no timetable yet on when his debut is going to be. I mean, obviously, he just got medically cleared to play. There's going to be several weeks of practice before he even sees the court yet. So we don't know. And I mean, chances are, I mean, the games may not even overlap. But if they do, yeah, I'm not going to be upset at all if LeBron, I mean, he told his teammates already, too. He's like, guys, you know, hey, my son plays and we're playing that night. I'm choosing my son.
Well, yeah, but you think he did it that harshly? Like,
No.
Do you think everyone in the room is like, yeah, of course, you don't have to be all like manly, make a stand about it.
Listen, guys, this is what I choose.
I think we all get it. And listen, LeBron, I hate, you know, I know you know this, but you could just say you're missing a game because you want to go for ice cream with your wife and we'd all be okay with it, right? You do get that, right? Like, there's no explanation needed. LeBron, yeah, you could just go, you know what, guys? I just wanted to stay home and watch a rerun of Dancing with the Stars. We'd be like, yeah, that's LeBron. He can do that. You're okay. You can do that.
Love it when Alfonso Ribeiro does to Carlson.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's...
Or Carlton, yeah, I should say.
But, again, given... I mean, listen, even if you didn't have the cardiac arrest from the summer, you could still say, yeah, of course.
Exactly.
He's playing college basketball. He's playing major college basketball. This is a big deal.
Yep.
But the fact that, again, that it was 4 or 5 months ago, he was being rushed to a hospital with cardiac arrest, and LeBron thought he was losing his son, and his son's now been medically cleared to play, and we don't know when he's going to play. USC still hasn't really determined when that is going to be. But the reality of it is he had surgery to repair what they had was a heart defect. He's been medically cleared to play. You're there to share the moment because 5 months ago, whatever it was, LeBron went from, hey, there could be a day when LeBron and Bronny play on the same NBA team.
Oh, yeah.
To LeBron's son may not make it. Like, yep, LeBron could lose his kid. Like, it was that serious.
I mean, in a snap of a finger, too. I mean, and that narrative, which is funny because that narrative dominated the headlines for
absolutely
a while. Didn't, I mean, the LeBron is going to continue playing until Bronny is able to play. And, you know, LeBron's going to stay with the Lakers unless Bronny gets drafted by somebody else, and then he's going to find a way to get to that team because LeBron will be able to. He'll be able to force his way anywhere, you know, just so they can be on the court together at the same time. That was the narrative for almost a year, 2 years.
I really hope that there isn't anybody out there really like going to like a Skip Bayless or somebody just going to go, well, let me
there
just
is.
You
know, I'm gonna, I can see it happening.
I just don't. I hope not. I don't know how you would create that.
Well, it's like, who was Bill Simmons? Right. Bill Simmons. I watched this video the other day. I guess it was right after the NFL draft. And he sat there and said, C.J. Stroud is going to be terrible. Do you know why?
Why?
Because a quarterback with two initials as his first name has never been good.
Yeah, that's silly.
You know, he's like, you can't take a C.J. serious. So C.J. Stroud was destined for failure because he goes by C.J.
Oh, yeah.
You know, think of the other initial quarterbacks. And he brought up A.J. Feely. And I can't remember. There was another one.
Right. So
E.J. Manuel.
So something like that, like, gets airtime and gets pontificated. Yeah. But, okay, you could have some fun with that. But if you're making a serious argument that a father should not attend a basketball game, like, I would say to that person, what makes his job different than any other job in America where we would praise a guy for taking a day off?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
To go attend this. So let's say a bus driver in Los Angeles was taking a personal day off from bus driving in Los Angeles and decided that he was going to attend his son's USC game.
Or what?
Just because it's sports and it matters to a lot of people what the outcome of the games are?
Or flip it. Would we criticize the bus driver for not going to his son's game?
Right, right.
Yeah. Why are you working? Why are you here? Why don't you go watch your son play? Well, good.
Maybe he's like, I don't get days off.
Yeah.
Haven't worked that out with the union yet. But no, seriously, like, why? What makes this different? Like, what makes, you could go obligation. Well, you know what? Plenty of jobs, there are obligations to other employees.
There are deadlines to be met there everywhere.
Right, exactly. Like, let's stop pretending that because that team sports is the only place where, you know, your absence matters so much. Like, there are businesses where if certain people are out, the business just doesn't get done. Things don't happen. I've worked in radio stations where certain office people, if they're out, you got to wait till Monday to get what you're looking for, to get a piece of paper signed or some budget thing approved or whatever it may be. You just go, okay, Barbara's not in today. I got to wait till she comes back. Like, it's like that in all these businesses. But, I mean, like, for the love of Pete, if you're criticized, especially, again, since the kid almost died.
Yeah, that's
like, I mean, Phil.
That's
like,
the X factor.
Like, at this time of year, let it grow three sizes, seriously, like, where is your heart, for a dad that went from almost losing my son to, like, seeing him celebrate a moment where he's on a college basketball court?
Yeah, I mean, what a roller coaster ride. Because it was like, hey, we're just going to play together. Whatever happens, we're going to be on the same team. I'm going to make sure.
Remember that.
Just the lowest of lows, like, oh, my God, forget about will he ever be able to play basketball again. Will he be around next Christmas?
Yeah, I remember seeing a lot of the political pundits on Twitter that were very anti-LeBron, shut up and dribble, stop. You don't support, you don't say anything about China, all this stuff. And then they immediately went, prayers for his son. Like because they saw the larger issue here, which is a guy could lose his kid. And that's the most horrifying thing in the world. I will, I say all the time, like if a magical genie popped up and offered me three wishes besides, a little extra cash, the one thing I would make sure I wished for is that both of my children were attending my funeral.
Yeah.
Because if they're attending mine, I'm not attending theirs, that's the biggest fear of any parent. Yep. And if there's a pundit out there that can't see that and is saying that he deserves, he needs to be on a court for a game against the Pelicans. That's
meaningless
heartless.
In December.
Exactly.
But real talk. When you say a little extra cash, how much are we talking?
Well, it would have to be a significant amount. I think it would have to have at least.
So we're not
nine
saying
figures
little
next
extra.
No, not a little extra. Not like to go to the movies extra.
Yeah. But I'm not asking for all of it.
Not all of it. Not all of it. No.